This is Murray Yates welcoming you today to Mission Breakthrough. Good afternoon and welcome to Life with a Capital L. Today we are going to be asking the question, what is abundant life? The Bible answers this, and we can find it in John chapter 10. Jesus came into this world. And this is what he said. He said, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is a shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. The great acts in the Bible are explained in what Jesus said. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. However, Satan comes to kill and destroy. God's abundant life fills us with his own personality and presence, making us salt and light, and giving God, who is with us in all circumstances, afflictions and persecutions and trials, girding us with truth. With God, he takes the initiative. After all, he is a triune God. He is in control, and our every thought, word and action must be in line with him, with no weakness or failure. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. We find that in Colossians chapter 3, verse 3, when he who is our life is manifested, we will also appear with him in glory. For we know that if our earthly house, that is this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For we who are in this tent groan, burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. God's word is a tremendous word, a productive word. It produces what it is, power. It produces God-likeness. We get to heaven through Christ, the word of God. We have peace through the blood of his cross. Redemption is ours through the knowledge of the word. I am saved because God's word says so. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If I am baptized with the Holy Spirit, it is because Jesus said, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." We must all have one thought, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be filled with God. And the Holy Spirit has a royal plan, a heavenly plan. He came to unveil the King, to show the character of God, to unveil the precious blood of Jesus. Because I have the Holy Spirit within me, I see Jesus clothed for humanity. He was moved by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. We read of some who heard the word of God, but it did not benefit them from it because faith was lacking in them. We must have a living faith in God's word, a faith that is quickened by the Spirit. The Bible goes on to say, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, he is a thief and a robber. But the man who enters by the gate is a shepherd of his sheep. And of course, that was describing Jesus. You see, Jesus came into this world for a reason. He came on in so that he could bring men and women to himself. Of course, we now realize that Jesus has gone back, had died, and has gone back to be with his Father. But the very fact that he died on this earth and then came back to life again, after 3 days, and then he was able to train up the apostles for another 40 days before he finally went back to heaven. And what is more, after that, he baptized them by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the same thing happens today to all those people who come to know Jesus Christ and invite him into their life personally so that they too can be forgiven for their sin. God also gives them this new power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And along with that, he gives other gifts. Gifts of healing. Some people have that gift, and we have seen it. We've seen it very often in our meetings, because the Lord is living and real, and he comes to us just as he promised. However, also we hear in Romans 8 verses 6 to 25. This is what it says. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature, to living according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. You see, a man may be saved and still be carnally minded. When many people hear about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, their carnal minds at once arise against the Holy Spirit. One time Jesus' disciples wanted to call down fire from heaven as a punishment against a Samaritan village for not welcoming him. But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that formality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. God must have people for himself, people who are being clothed with a heavenly habitation, perfectly prepared by the Holy Spirit for the day of the Lord. For in this we groan, the Bible tells us, earnestly desiring to be clothed with the habitation which is from heaven." When Paul was speaking here, this is what he said. He was only talking about the coming of the Lord. Or was he? No, yet this condition of preparedness on earth is related to our heavenly state. The Holy Spirit is coming to take out of the world a church that is a perfect bride. We must find in us perfect yieldness with every desire subject to him. He has come to reveal Christ in us so that the glorious flow of the life of God may flow out of us, bringing rivers of living water to the thirsty land. If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. And when we are clothed with the Spirit, our human depravity is covered, and everything that is contrary to the mind of God is destroyed. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, starting from verse 6, it says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner." This was Paul writing. "But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know that whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day." Some marvelous words from the Bible, isn't it? Yes, and it has been a long time now since the debt of sin was settled, and has settled our redemption and made it secure, and death was abolished. Mortality is a hindrance, but death no longer has power. That is, not over those who have invited Jesus Christ into their life. Sin no longer has dominion. You reign in Jesus Christ. You take hold of his finished work. Don't groan and travail for a week if you are in need. Only believe. You find that in Mark 5, chapter 36. Don't fight to get some special thing. Only believe. It is according to your faith that you will receive. In Matthew 9, 29, God blesses you because of your faith. You have faith in him, expecting him to bring about his perfect will in your life. Have faith in God, Mark 11, 22. If you are free in God, believe and it will come to pass. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, Colossians 3, verse 1. Stir yourself up, beloved. Where are you? I have been planted with Christ in the likeness of his death, and I am risen with Christ. That's found in Romans 6, verse 5. It was a beautiful planting. I am seated with him in heavenly places. Ephesians 2, verse 6. God credits me with righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. And in Romans 4, 5, you know, we put our trust in him. We believe in him. So why should I doubt? Why do you doubt? Faith reigns. God makes it possible. How many have received the Holy Spirit? And I wonder if you have. But does Satan get a doubt in this? Does he try and tempt you and say, oh no, those things are not for today. Those things are not true. But don't believe him. However, don't doubt, but believe the Bible, because in that you find that the power of God works through to men and women today who believe it. You see, there is power and strength in him, Jesus, because he's alive. And who will dare to believe God? Will you today? Leave Doubting Street. Live on Faith Victory Street. Jesus sent the 70 out and they came back in victory. It takes God to make it real. Dare to believe until there is not a sick person, until there is no sickness, until everything that is not of God is with it, and the life of Jesus is implanted within. Those sorts come to us, of course, from the Word of God originally. For some of those sorts today have come from Smith Wigglesworth. And he too was a man, and he even came to New Zealand many years ago. And he held huge meetings here with men and women flocking to hear him. He had the gift of healing too. And many came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And you too can come to know him too by simply inviting Jesus Christ into your life. And you can pray a prayer similar to this if you wish. And it says, the Bible tells us, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And these things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. In receiving Christ, we are born into God's family through the supernatural work of the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer. And this can be you if you have never invited Christ in and you intend to today. This is called regeneration of the new birth. Now, if indeed you want to invite Jesus Christ into your life today, to change your life, you can pray this prayer after me. But first of all, remember, admit your need, that the fact that you are a sinner, that you have gone your own way, also be willing to turn away from these sins. Believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for you and rose from the grave. And through prayer, invite Jesus Christ to come in and control your life through the Holy Spirit. Let us pray this prayer if indeed you are wanting to become a Christian, if indeed you are wanting forgiveness for your sins. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner and need your forgiveness. I believe that you died for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I now invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today and you wish to make contact with a Christian church who can help you to go on further in your Christian life, you'd by all means go to a church which is near you. This is Murray Yates signing off for this week.